Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Fantasy NBA Today podcast.
All right, we got our quick hitter show now. Streaming time here on Fantasy NBA Today. I hope you guys are enjoying these back-to-backs I've been pulling this week. I don't know, scheduling-wise, it just sort of made more sense for me to try to jam them in one right after the other. I'm already in the chair. The equipment's already hooked up. Off we go. At Dan Vespers on social media. This, of course, is a SportsEthos.com presentation. And this is the second half of our Two for Tuesday, where we're going to talk about how to maximize your games on the head-to-head side. And I have bad news for you today. Your choices suck. Should I just sign off after that? That would have been a good show. Let's start with the worst schedules, because that's actually not the worst news of all. There are a couple of teams who don't have particularly good schedules, and you can find a way to move off of them. Problem, of course, is going to be the second half of this show, where we don't have that many options for you to go back in another direction. Lakers, back to having the worst schedule again, such has been the case for the better part of a week now. They've been an extremely light schedule, basically since Sunday, March 10th. They had two games last week. They played first day this week, yesterday, and now they're off for 3 days again. So the Lakers, two games the rest of this week, and they're off Monday of next week. So technically, Lakers, two games over the next 7 days. And I get it. Weeks don't start and end on Tuesdays, but you have to look at the whole breadth of it. They go into a four-game schedule next week starting on Tuesday, so at least things start to pick up a little bit for LA at that point. But this is a rough one. They're off for 3 days right now, two games Friday and Sunday, two games over 7 days for the Lakers if you have any fringy players there, which you shouldn't because their schedule's been bad for a while. But if you happen to, get off of it. Also, bad schedules. Basically, like a massive deadlock of a bunch of teams that all have two games over 6 days, but there are some slight differences among them. So here are the teams that have pretty bad schedules. The Atlanta Hawks, the Charlotte Hornets, the Chicago Bulls, the Memphis Grizzlies, the Dallas Mavericks, and the New York Knicks. Six teams. Hawks, Hornets, Bulls, Grizzlies, Mavs, Knicks. All of those teams have two games over 6 days to finish this week. But two of them play today. So wipe those off the board. Interestingly, it's the two teams that only have a two-game week. So their schedule is about to go from pretty bad to horrible after today, particularly the Hornets. But the Mavs and the Hornets you can take off the board for today. Because I know they had a bad schedule this week, but as we talked about on yesterday's streaming show, there was kind of no reason to move off of them yesterday. If you liked the player that you had on those teams, you might as well just let him go through today. And frankly, for the Mavericks, you might as well just let him go through Thursday. For the Hornets, no. But at this point, you let him go through today. So the Lakers, terrible schedule, but you probably don't have any streamables on that team anyway because they've had a bad schedule. Which brings us now, that sort of narrows our focus to the Hawks, the Bulls, the Grizzlies, and the Knicks. Those are the four teams that have had either good or middling schedule. The Knicks' schedule hasn't been great, but it hasn't been the worst on planet Earth. They're sort of like gently floating along with three-game weeks lately. Two games over 6 days, including 2 days off right now. So they don't play today or tomorrow. They play Thursday, Saturday to finish the week. If you have somebody on the Knicks you like a lot, you can hang tough with it. But if there's someone that you were streaming like, you know, I don't know, like a Precious Achiuwa or if you went Deuce McBride yesterday, these are things where you probably want to be a little bit careful. The Grizzlies, I've been telling you guys basically to avoid them because you just don't really know who's playing on a given night They do go tomorrow, and they do go Friday, so the worst part of the schedule for the Grizzlies is the end of the week when they don't play over the weekend. So if you like the Memphis streamer or fringe player you have, you could probably hold till Friday and then get the hell off the Grizzlies over the weekend, move to somebody who has a back-to-back if your season is ending, or, you know, look farther down the line. The Hawks, they're off for 2 days now. And actually, not only do they have 2 games in 6 days, it's actually 3 games in 8. So slightly better because they play Monday of next week and they move into a better schedule. But the Hawks have lots of fringy players. Bruno Fernando was fringy until Okongwu came back. Okongwu himself is kind of a fringy player. DeAndre Hunter is a fringy player. I don't think any of those guys belong on rosters right now because, again, there is a team. It's not a great opportunity, but there is a team left that has 4 games this week. And there are going to be a lot of teams that have 3 games. So if you're sitting on like a DeAndre Hunter, who you think might be, I don't know, 120 range production, it's hard to say because each game is its own weird little sample size. But let's say you guess at about 120 range for ranking on Hunter. 2 games of that versus 3 games of like 150 range guy, maybe better. I think I'd tip towards the 3-gamer or 4 games. From the one team that I haven't talked about yet, and we will in just a second. And then the other really bad team we were talking about was the Bulls. They don't have anybody that's fringe level, so that one doesn't even really creep in. So I guess you could call it a little bit of good news that the only team where you probably had a bunch of fringe level guys that you shouldn't anymore is the Hawks. Because the Hornets you can hold through today. The Mavs you can hold through today or even Thursday. The Knicks, you could try to just hold the rest of the week, but maybe you have a fringe. But honestly, the Knicks, the Lakers, the Bulls, none of those teams you really had streaming level guys. And then the Grizzlies are all over the map, so who the hell knows with them anyway. But if you have someone fringy on the Grizz, like a Jameson or a, hell, I don't know. That's probably your best example is a Trey Jameson or even a John Conchar or a Luke Kennard, which you shouldn't have because he's been sitting out basically every other ballgame. Those are guys that you'd probably want to abandon ship on as well. What about the good schedule? Well, I'll scroll this board down. Those of you that are watching with us here, I think it's on the screen. Yeah, it's on the screen. I actually remember to do it this time. Those of you that are watching with us, you can see one team. There is only one team with a schedule above the others the rest of this week, and that team is the New Orleans Pelicans.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There are plenty of teams that have 3 games the rest of this week. Sure. Yeah, lots. I mean, we could list them off if you guys really want to know. Who has 3 games the rest of this week? Well, we can use this schedule, and I'll just highlight these 6 days and look for any row that has 3 markers in it. Brooklyn. Boston. Cleveland. Denver. Detroit. Golden State. Houston. I'll go faster. Indiana. The Clippers. We had a bad schedule to start the week. Now it's getting a little bit better. Miami. That's 10 already. Milwaukee. Minnesota. Oklahoma City. Orlando. Philadelphia. Phoenix. Portland. Sacramento. San Antonio. Toronto. Utah. Washington. Is that 22? It's either 17 or 22. I lost track. Anyway, it's most of the NBA. And I probably could have just done this through deductive. I could have deduced it because we had the Lakers and then those 6 teams I talked about that had 2 games the rest of the week. So that's 7 and 1 team with 4. There's 8. The other 22 have 3 games left. It's quite evenly matched. Which, of course, means with 22 teams that have 3 games, there are lots of really, really good 3-game pickups. But if you really wanted to max it out, and I don't think I feel all that comfortable telling you to max it out, but if you really wanted to max it out, It's the Pellies. The Pellies are the only team that has four games the rest of this week. The problem here, and it's a large one, it's a doozy, is that the Pelicans really have a 5 or 6 player rotation where they go quite heavy on minutes, and then a steep drop-off to basically anyone else. Lately, because Herb Jones has been out of the lineup, you've gotten a little bit more out of Jose Alvarado. But Herb is probable. He got upgraded for today's ballgame yesterday. So I would assume Herb Jones is playing and Jose Alvarado's minutes drop back down where they were before, which was more like 19-20-ish per ballgame, as opposed to the 31 he got in the last one. 31 minutes of Alvarado, that's you're almost guaranteed 1.5 to 2 steals, but I don't think he's getting 31 minutes in any of the four games this week, unless you get some rest game. You'll probably get a Zion rest game in there. I don't know that that's going to change things very much. The other name, two names, the other names that might creep into consideration would be Larry Nance, although he sat out their last back-to-back. They say it was an illness. You could scroll back a little bit, find out if he played in the previous one. He did, but he only got about 20, 21 minutes in that back-to-back. I love Larry Nance, but 19 minutes isn't enough for him to do fantasy damage. It's not. 20-something is. Mid-20s has always been enough for him to get you a bunch of steals on good percentages. But 19 minutes, you're talking about 4 or 5 points, probably 5 rebounds, if that. 3 to 5 rebounds, 2 assists, maybe a steal. It's not enough. 4 games of that isn't enough. And Najee Marshall is the other one that comes up. He doesn't play all that much, but in sort of stark contrast to the Larry Nance minutes, when Marshall's on the floor, he is firing. He's like, wait, Naz Reid does what? Because his fantasy game actually reminds me a lot of Naz Reid, which is step out, space the floor, hit some threes, get some boards, get some steals. Naz will get you more blocks because he's taller. Najee Marshall is more wingy, so steals a little bit more prevalent, assists a little higher than rebounds. But they're both in that same kind of like, if they're on the floor, they're not going to be bashful. He had like one bashful game. Their loss at Indiana, he played 28 minutes and he didn't take a shot. He did have 8 boards, 4 assists, a steal, and 2 blocks. But lately, he's been out there 20 minutes a game. He's taken 7 shots lately. Not even remotely close to enough for Roto. Not even remotely close to enough. Like, if you want to look at the last 2 weeks, basically, since Najee Marshall decided he wanted to go take a bunch of shots. 20 minutes a game, 7.5 shots. That's the usage rate he's at right now. And he's top 150 range. Larry Nance is top 150 range over that stretch on 7-4 with 1.5 steals. That's what he does. So both of those guys are in the mix for 4 games the rest of this week. Can they keep up the pace they've been on? And how much was it impacted by the fact that Herb Jones did miss a ball game in there? He's actually missed 2 of their last 3. Oh, that's not true. Sorry. Herb just missed the 1 ball game. Are these numbers slightly inflated because of it? I think that's more the Alvarado situation. Is there an inflation on Larry Nance because Jonas Valanciunas has been getting run off the floor for 2 weeks? Absolutely. If JV decides to come out and play better for a game, that'll kill Larry Nance. It'll probably kill Najee Marshall a little bit too, although again, not so much a center as he is kind of like a big wing, medium wing. I feel like we're talking about snacks here. So what do you do? Well, it's a lot of work. Not all of us, I think, have the patience for it. But look at your board. Go to your free agent list. You know your free agent list better than I do. I don't know what the hell yours looks like. And look for anybody who's playing 3 times the rest of the week and compare them. Are they significantly better than one of these guys I could pick up on the Pelicans? Like, let's say Rashawn Holmes is on your wire, because he probably is on a bunch. He was hurt for a little bit. He came back. He didn't look all that great. They've got 3 games the rest of the week. There's 3 games of Rashawn Holmes at probably a pace of about 10-6 with 1.5-ish defensive stats. Or does he pop off and do much better than that? Is that better enough to go that direction? Or Onyeka Okongwu is another interesting example. Is he better enough over 3 games the rest of this week versus like an Najee Marshall in 4? My opinion is it's probably quite close. And while I'd love to say go get the four-gamer and hope that Marshall continues his current pace, because, you know, if he does what he's been doing the last 2 weeks, four games would get you 42 points. That's pretty good. Almost 20, about 19 rebounds, 10 assists, 3 steals, 1 block on good percentages. That's actually pretty good. Because Holmes would be about 31 points, 18 rebounds, pretty close there, fewer points, fewer assists, fewer steals, more blocks would be my guess. Better field goal percent. What if you were comparing Rashawn to Larry Nance? What if you could go get Nikhil Alexander-Walker? He's probably floating around on some wires, although probably got picked up for folks that were sort of back-to-back in it. So again, I don't know who's on your waiver wire, but kind of, you know, sort by like the last 2 weeks, see who pops up near the top, and roll from there. I'll look at another league of mine. Let's see who's near the top of the board. I don't know. Could be anybody. Let's see if they're better enough in a three-game week over a Pelican in four. Do we think Jonathan Isaac plays all three of these games this week? I have no idea. Niang in three games? Niang in three games over in Marshall in four? I mean, probably. Bruce Brown's on some wires. Is he good enough in three versus Nance or Marshall in four? Eh, it's close. It's a very hard call. So I think what I'd say is, if you can get someone that you think is top 100-ish for those three games, you probably go that route. If you're talking about comparing, you know, Najee Marshall to someone in like the 125-130 range, you probably go for the guy who just has an extra ball game. Because what if someone on the Pelicans misses a game or two in there? What if there's a big old blowout and he gets to go big minutes for a day? Which I guess could happen to the other guy you pick up too. But compare and contrast. Run the numbers. Where do you win out? Typically, you win out on the guy playing the extra ball game. But it's much closer. Much closer. In this case, because your options are so limited. My good friend Andre is messing with us here on the broadcast. Shake my fist. Andre is the director of operations, actually, here at Sports Ethos. He's one of the most amazing humans I've ever met, and he's torturing me, but I'm going to blow him a kiss on air. He writes, "Hey Dan, I'm in the finals of a very competitive league. Do you think I should drop Isaiah Stewart or wait for an update?" And the reason he posts this, and I'm going to let you guys behind the curtain, is because that is my team he's talking about, and he and I are playing each other in the finals of a league. I have Isaiah Stewart, and I need to know if I should drop him and go get a Pelican or something like that. Andre. All right, let's see what else we got in the chat room. Scoot or Kispert? Points league. Give me Kispert, because the Wizards are missing a bunch of dudes. Jess says, "Let's go. I was new from Twitter." Awesome. Welcome over to the YouTube side. It's a lot easier over here. The chat room is easier to operate. You can watch the show after the fact. Super duper. Should I keep Isaiah Hartenstein? For streaming, two-gamer of Hartenstein versus four of somebody? I mean, Hartenstein has a shot, actually, in two games to beat these four-game dudes in rebounds and maybe assists and possibly defensive stats. Like, it's tighter than it should be, but, like, two of him against four of Nance, yeah, I mean, you probably go with the four and just hope that you get one decent one out of Nance in there. Because, look, Hartenstein's minutes cap is a little bit higher, but it's still not massive. Gary Trent or Chris Paul rest of this week? Warriors, yeah, three games for each of them. I'm going to go Trent on that one. "Hey, Dan, I'm moving on from Nick Richards and Vasilije Micic after tonight, but DiVincenzo got dropped last Sunday. I have first dibs on the waiver. Is it worth burning that third ad on Dante, or should I save it?" Well, so after tonight, you'd get two Knicks games versus one Hornet. If you're in a desperate battle for a playoff spot, I probably would look at somebody with three games after today, but Dante is good enough that in two games, he might be able to beat a three-gamer. Again, it depends on who's on the waiver wire. So this is sort of that same thing. Like, if the guy on the waiver wire is a 100 to 125 range guy, three games of that is probably better than two games of DiVincenzo. But if the guy you're picking up is like a 150 range guy, you probably go Dante in that spot. So again, it has to do with who you're comparing them to. Is Herb Jones worth the pickup for a 12 team? He's very hit or miss. Yeah, if you're streaming and Herb is on the wire, hell yes, because four games out of Herb is a massive difference maker. I mean, you could get 10 steals out of him in four games. I'm not saying you will, but you could. Is Champagne a pickup over Thybulle or Paul Reed? Well, Thybulle left yesterday's game, so there's no telling whether he's even going to play the rest of this week. So yes, on that front, because at least you're then going to get a guy who's like upright. Over Paul Reed, I'd say no. Keep Reed. His minutes aren't great, but he's healthy, and he's got three games left, so you're not even gaining a game in that instance. But over Thybulle, I'd say yes, but if Champagne's really the best pickup over Thybulle, I'd say hit your waiver wire a little bit harder. See if somebody else is floating around that you could use that might be a little bit more useful. All right, everybody, let's keep rolling. Win the week. Win the week. That's how we're doing it here. Follow on Twitter, at Dan Vespers. If you're watching on Twitter, remember you can come join us at YouTube in the future, iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. It is easier to watch or listen on those locations because, again, you can fast forward easily in the video after the fact, all that stuff when we're not rolling live. Come on over to YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, whatever. Subscribe, like, rate, review, all that good stuff. Last question here. Joseph sneaks it in at the end. Is Keon Ellis a pickup in 16-teamers? Yes, absolutely. He's frankly almost a pickup in 12-teamers because Kevin Herter went down. They don't play tonight, but they do have three games the rest of the week. If you could hold off until tomorrow and drop somebody that has a bad schedule after today, that would be the optimal move for head-to-head. For Roto, if you're picking up Ellis, you're hunting defensive stats hard, but it does seem like he could be good enough to be a difference maker in those categories. All right, everybody, have a wonderful day. Back with two shows again tomorrow. I'm trying to do it until the end of the season. I'm doing my best. Have a great one. We'll see you guys over on social media. Again, like, rate, subscribe, all that good stuff. Talk to you soon.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.